You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over the past month, there have been further developments in Sudan as the peaceful protests have resulted in political changes. Isabella Holdsworth spoke to Sudanese American activist Wafa Al-Amin about what to expect from the new power-sharing arrangement and the potential impact of a democratic Sudan, and the role of the Sudanese diaspora in this conversation. And you can find out what she asked first by continuing to listen.
What is the current political situation in Sudan?
So the current political situation in Sudan is, it's looking bright. Since December of 2018, there have been peaceful protests ongoing, led by civilians demanding for democracy and demanding for civilian representation, and just demanding a change by first ousting and removing President Omar al-Bashir. And very recently, a lot of movement has happened. And throughout the course of these, I guess, 6 to 7 months, people have lost their lives fighting for this fight. And there's just been a lot of conflicts between security forces, the military, and the civilians and the peaceful protesters. So right now, there has been a transitional council that has been appointed, and this has just been from all of the hard work of the peaceful protesters and the international support and solidarity from the Sudanese diaspora. So right now is a really critical moment in Sudan. It's at a position, the political arena in Sudan has this potential to really be able to shape a new democratic standard. And that's currently where they are. They have appointed a prime minister, and the transitional government constitutes of 5 civilian rulers and also 5 military rulers, with one person voted in by both. So the political situation is a little bit messy, but hopefully with these new people working together, they can be able to clean it up appropriately.
So given this power-sharing situation between civilian rule and the TMC, what are some of the key challenges that this transitionary regime will face both internally and then externally with Sudan moving forward?
Definitely, the re-establishment of democracy in Sudan is probably going to be the biggest challenge, because there is great room to really construct the new Sudan that's been fought for such a long time. One of the biggest things that I can think of is the length. 3 years and 3 months for this transitional period is, you know, a lot can happen, as we've seen, in between 3 hours and 3 days. So just seeing that sense of a time frame does raise some flags for people and people who haven't really trusted the establishments of the institutions there. Another key challenge that's going to be faced is the fact that a majority of the same people who were part of the National Congress Party, the NCP, which is the same party that Omar al-Bashir was a part of, all of those military leaders are currently sharing the power with the civilians. So internally, for people who are Sudanese who have been in Sudan, they know that there's not a lot of trust that can be put towards that entity, that military-faced entity, the security forces. So that's one of the biggest things. And another thing is just really knowing that so much has to be done. One of the biggest is the economy. Rebuilding that economy is going to be substantial for maintaining a solid power-sharing agreement, and coming up with the terms for how that economy is going to be built. I think that there could be a lot of complications and disagreements on how to allocate those funds or even how to obtain them and get them. An external factor, a challenge would be the influence of the regional players who are keeping a close eye on what's happening in Sudan, and there is some involvement in there as well currently. So just being able to separate those two and making sure that those who are sharing that power are upholding what everyone has kind of been fighting for a really long time, and just really stressing the importance of a civilian-led government. You never really know with split votes how that could go when it comes down the road and electing the cabinet and moving forward on constructing the new Sudan.
So just on that point of the regional interest in Sudan, who are some of the key players that we should be looking at globally? Who's interested in what happens and maybe will threaten the new kind of transition towards democracy or be keen to support it?
Sudan is in a very, very optimal point that connects the Horn of Africa to pretty much the rest of the world. And currently, right now, that is a region that doesn't have a whole lot of influence from outside factors outside of Africa. But we have seen Saudi Arabia presence there, providing monetary support to the Rapid Support Forces, who are also present in Yemen, are being funded by Saudi money. And also UAE also is playing a role as well. But more importantly, I think it's just a bigger picture than that, is this is such a prime location and a prime spot for any world leaders or any world nations to kind of take advantage of that port and the economic potential and the foreign relations potential in that area. And the fear of democracy in the region is very prominent, and that's why so many people have started revolutions and had failed revolutions, because of being met by really strong opposing force from like the military and the government institutions that are established to protect them. So the fear of the democracy in the region stresses more the importance for a successful democratic transition in Sudan, because it can set a brand new standard in the region.
So just going on from that last comment, how would a stable Sudan impact the wider region, and what would its impact be on South Sudan?
Seeing a success in democracy would just kind of have a ripple effect in the region for other nations who are wishing and hoping to aspire for the same things, because we have a very clear model from the peaceful protests since December, and just kind of pushing that along could be really great for all of Africa to kind of have that unifying effect on a democratic continent. Also, you see South Sudan and Sudan are two separate countries for a reason. South Sudanese people fought for the same liberties that Sudanese people are fighting for now. So I think just seeing success in that could potentially bridge those ties, I guess, economically, to kind of have more development in the area. That's bottom-up approach and not so much the top-down, and to get more of the people involved and on board. And like, you know, what I was saying earlier, we could see a reduced influence of those key top players in the Middle East who have contributed to a lot of atrocities in the region and just very oppressive institutions and governments.
So moving on to your kind of own role since December last year, I would presume, you've played a key role in organizing the Sudanese diaspora in DC. So what are some examples of action your community has taken, and what have you been doing?
So I think I'll start by saying, like, the action that my community has taken is just kind of, it stemmed from a sense of helplessness of seeing our friends and family directly impacted by this, not knowing if they're alive, not knowing if, you know, when they go out and protest, do they come back home, not knowing what happens when they're detained. Just knowing that we have to do more for our people and understanding that we all have so much to offer. One of the biggest things that I've seen from the diaspora as a whole is the use of social media. Social media has been not only the way that we've received our news, it's been the way that we've connected with one another from various parts of the world and also within Sudan as a whole. It's had a very unifying effect. More specifically for me here, organizing in stateside, I'm very active and involved in my DC Sudanese American community, and so many people have just come together and we've been able to organize several marches and rallies and protests and educational sessions for our community, and also offering healing spaces, because we are very directly impacted by what's happening. And in order to fully serve our people back in Sudan and to be that source of credible information which is in control of the narrative. I think we see so much in reporting and journalism that the narrative of the people directly impacted gets really lost. So having the Sudanese diaspora take a key role in driving this change and providing that international support. You know, I live in the U.S. and we have the way our government works is that we can call onto our leaders and ask them for, you know, what is your take on this foreign issue that's happening? Because it impacts me directly as a citizen. What can we do as Americans to mobilize more people to speak about this, to enact the change that people want to see? one of my favorite things we did with this group of young Sudanese professionals called Sudanese Americans. We organized a march in March 23rd, which, you know, we were able to walk in our nation's capital right in front of the Lincoln Memorial steps. We had a little concert and educational session where we had different artists and poets and also policy analysts and people who could directly educate people on a larger scale about what's going on, because, you know, we've become subject matter experts on the issues concerning Sudan because we've been seeing this for 30 plus years. But the rest of the world, this is brand new news to some people. And it's a lot easier to piece those things together when you have people who are organizing it the way that the diaspora has. And, you know, creating global networks with amongst the diaspora youth. I think it's a direct reflection of what's happening in Sudan. The revolution was led by young Sudanese people and women as well. So, and I think we see that reflected directly here in the U.S. and more specifically in the D.C. area. And a lot of diaspora people, so many leaders have come out and emerged from this experience. And I think it's just going to continue to get bigger from here, more synchronized, more structured, and more cohesive. You know, I think because this could also serve as a model for other people who are wishing to do the same thing.
What role do you see the diaspora playing as Sudan rebuilds?
So as Sudan rebuilds, I think the diaspora is going to continue to play the same role it's been playing in educating the international community and bridging that gap between communities that we're a part of to what's going on directly in Sudan. Something that's happened as a result of this 30-year regime is brain drain. The brain drain in Sudan has been astounding. You know, so many scholars and all of the sectors of the institutions in Sudan were forced to leave Sudan and make better lives for their kids and their families in the rest of the world. And now we have all of this knowledge base that exists within the diaspora. And we also have a lot of young professionals within the diaspora who are learning from the history and learning from our parents and our aunts and our uncles and our neighbors. So I think, you know, the diaspora has also played a substantial role in keeping Sudan afloat. A lot of the money that has come into the country to be able to support the actual people has come directly from diaspora people, because those are our parents and our aunts and our uncles and our cousins who don't have enough to eat. So we've been funneling a lot of money into our people. And also another thing, in identifying the need for foreign aid, you know, it has to be very strategic. It has to be, it has to come from people and places and organizations and institutions that align absolutely with initiatives of the revolution, of the Sudan uprising. Another thing, I think just the use of social media, by continuing on, by talking about it, by not letting it be something that just is a headline once and then it's just gone. You know, we've kept it going for the last 8 months, and since then it's gotten so much traction. And it's really cool to be able to see how, like what we're doing right now, you know, we've been self-reporting ourselves on our social media, within our communities, with our friends and our family, and then getting the chance to talk to people who can take that to their communities and take that to their neighborhoods and take that to parts of the world. Like, I'm talking to you right now and you're in New Zealand and I'm on the whole other side of the world. So hopefully, as the civilian-led democracy starts to settle, I think that the diaspora is going to have a lot of really great advice to provide. And I think that if we can just keep on going in this direction, keep the momentum going every once in a while, and continuously building off of that to have more people partake in the conversation with us, the change is going to come organically.
Right. So that high energy and dedication of the diaspora combined with social media is, you would say, quite a key driver of keeping this momentum going for Sudan and ensuring this kind of peaceful democracy.
Absolutely, yes.
So just to kind of wrap up, what are you kind of thinking about looking forward to the next few months? What do you think will be happening in Sudan and what type of transitions we'll be seeing? Are we feeling optimistic about the outlook?
I'm feeling optimistic just because this is something that has not been achieved for 30 plus years since the Bashir regime took over. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for growth and progressive change in the areas that we want to see it. I do have reservations just because a lot of the people who are a part of the new transitional government are military personnel and are the same people who are responsible for large-scale genocide across the whole entire country, ranging from Darfur to Kordofan to the Nuba Mountains. All of these people's lives were taken by the same people who are currently in power. So I think just maintaining that accountability and making sure that military continues to support and take advantage of the opportunity to redeem themselves. So history can remember them differently and remember what we're doing and what's being done by Sudanese people on the ground differently. Peace agreements, like currently right now in Port Sudan, there's been a lot of violence happening there, and not a lot of talk has come from the transitional government about what to do there. People have kind of done what they always do in Sudan, and they take it upon themselves to rebuild their communities and do the parts that they need to. Another thing that hasn't been addressed is the extreme flooding that's happening in Sudan. People are dying because there is no proper drainage systems where the regular rains that we have now are flooding people's homes. And it's just a lot of opportunity right now with what's happening currently in Sudan. I think that my optimism will really set in stone, and I'll be like, okay, I believe in this 100%. Right now, I believe in the Sudanese people. And so long as their voices are heard, I think that establishing the kind of democracy that the new Sudan deserves and that the new Sudan has been fighting for will come to fruition.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.